It feels like placemaking to me, but it feels like placemaking in the body.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like what both of you are saying, like it feels like that, like the body is a place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're working with. And it's not like body in the traditional, it's not like dance, or we're dancing, we're activating. It's not that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's that antenna that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the place it feels like for me, the placemaking that it feels like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is not one thing, you know? It's not all pain. It's not all joy. It's all of it. It's all the human experience being honored and signified in a moment, in a portal. And you're being seen. The hollering space, you are seen and you are valuable.
You're listening to Creating Place, a podcast by Alternate Roots about the art of equitable community building. I'm Bonnie Gable.
And I'm Free For All. Each episode, we're bringing you stories of creative placemaking in the U.S. South.
Today, we're talking about The Hollerin' Space, an interactive installation piece which premiered at the Alternate Roots annual meeting in Arden, North Carolina. Happened there again the following year and has since migrated to the Mississippi Museum of Art in Jackson, Mississippi.
We'll hear first from the artists, Angela Davis Johnson and Muti Reed, and then from two artists who participated in the piece at the Alternate Roots annual meeting. Then from Daniel Johnson and Iafolola H. Amabola, who participated in the piece in Jackson, Mississippi.
Angela Davis Johnson, I am one who articulates my deepest emotions and pain through visual language. And so I'm a painter, but also I create installations and sculptures through found materials. I also like to write.
I'm Muti Reed. I do sound design, I do video work, I include soundscaping in my work. There's a certain level of like archiving, accumulating artifacts and remixing artifacts. That's mainly what I do. So I'm an artist primarily coming out of Philadelphia, and I also migrate now. I've been migrating for the past 5 years. I think I mostly make work that reflects my life in some way, things that affect me on a deep level. That's why I like to locate Detroit, where I was born, Philadelphia, where I was raised, and New Orleans, where I currently spend a lot of time, because I feel like these are all places that have a certain history and a certain presence in my life and in the lives of the narrative of the United States, particularly, that resonates with me in terms of the things that I might struggle with or the things that I have joys around, you know. So that's mainly how I create. That's mainly how I started creating. It's just out of that.
I think that's the reason why we vibe, because I come from different spaces too, you know. Yeah. Currently in Atlanta, but I'm from every space, it feels like. But my hometown, where my grandmother lived and raised her family, was in Arkansas, in East Arkansas. And then my first memories are in California. I have a really strong connection to Norfolk, Virginia and Ohio. And so, like, all of that comes through my work, those travels and understanding that every place is unique, but I'm a part of it and that we are all connected in some way. It makes me think, like, when I was young, I lived in Norfolk, Virginia, and I loved it. And I would go to the beach and hear the waves crashing, just hear them crashing. And then My family, we were evicted and we moved and lived in the woods, like total woods, no house or anything. And what I found was that when you close your eyes and you listen to the wind go through the woods, through the trees, it sounds just like the crashing of the waves. And so it's like, oh, so it's the same. It's different, and yet it's the same. And it's like, that's where I feel with the hollering space. The hollering space is a space where I feel most connected. Like, it is a space of without body almost. It's like a spiritual connecting space. And in that space, folks are able to come in with us as we're conducting it and creating it. And we all become like co-creators in this space. And it's like the connection and the vibration is so immediate. And it's like a space where you can come to grieve, you can come to celebrate, whatever it is that you're bringing to this space, it is welcome. And you are held and you are validated within the hollering space.
It's a space where we play with past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
Where we can like lay all this stuff on the table and just
and
like
approach it.
Yeah. You know? Talk about it, or not even talk about it. Maybe we just listening to music. Maybe right. We just dancing.
Or meditating.
Meditating.
Just, you know, or being present with one another. Mm-hmm. And just a simple conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, I say it like, I just think about it. I feel like I'm living the prayer and the dream of an ancestor that I don't know, you know? And I am just embodying that prayer that may have died, or no, it didn't die. The person may have left this world, transitioned, but that prayer existed and I'm living it.
Angela's the dream reader.
Yeah, Muti's the seed keeper.
I'm the seed keeper. And it reflects really what I do, because mm-hmm. I save seeds. I keep seeds, like literally. Mm-hmm. And I forage a lot.
Mm-hmm.
As part of my migration activities. But the live mixing that I do as the seed keeper has to do with really like training the space to be the opening and to be activated through sound. Like I said, some of it is like popular music, stuff that I like, we like. We have a Hollering Space playlist on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So we just keep adding to it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's accessible for other people to add to. And then there's also, I keep archives, so I have a lot of sound from like recordings, conversations with people, just sounds of environment, ambient sound. That's the thing with vibration. They say that sound, like we are experiencing the vibrational effects of sound from like millions of years ago.
Wow.
I know we use words like portal, and I'm a sound person, so that really is appropriate for me, because sound is about vibration. And so I think the language that we use in terms of like portaling, it feels very expansive.
Mm.
Basically, it's something that happens and then it's gone. And that's very powerful to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're tapping into something that is vibratory.
Mm.
And that's very much like rooted in like our everyday mundane. That's mm-hmm. why we do things like walking
mm-hmm.
and meditation. Because it's like these are everyday things. It's like bringing a consciousness or a certain deliberate awareness of certain things that we do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like we would always kind of have, like I said, these stations
mm-hmm.
where people come and just sit and do things. So, like, those stations are really thought out, and they're mm-hmm. kind of like you sit there and you kind of like be in whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, whether it's like taking a piece of fabric and writing on that piece of fabric,
mm-hmm.
or if it's taking some dirt and
making a seed and
having like a bunch of seeds to choose from and choosing your seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's like maybe a cover where you see all this writing and different things you can read and reflect. So it's like basically kind of different things that will bring you into the space and that help you to be in the space.
Right.
we borrow from our different traditions. I borrow from my grandmother's tradition. They had this tradition in their church. My grandmother's from Lowndes County, Alabama. And they do this thing in their Primitive Baptist, they call it the Primitive Rest Association. And they've been doing this for 500 years or so. They do this, they do these devotionals. It's a way of singing. It's like an order of service. They sing, and it's all happening at once. It's singing, it's touch and agree, and it's prayer. And devotionals are kind of like an old-time tradition. Acoustic, no instrumentation. The instrumentation is the beings, the bodies and the voices and the energy. So the devotionals are first, and that might last for anywhere from like 15 minutes to an hour, depending on the what being felt in the space. You know what I'm saying? And then after that, it's like, okay, well, y'all youth choir, y'all come in and sing with your drums and your, you know, your hand clap. Well, it's hand clapping in the devotionals because that's acoustic. And it's like, it's beautiful because it's this past, present, future again. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, after the devotion, we're going to make sure y'all get these devotionals. We're going to make sure y'all in this devotional space. We're going to hold this devotional space, you know? And then we're going to give them, you know, then the youth, okay, get some more, you know, get some fire to you, you know, because the youth usually be upbeat, whereas the devotionals are more like in your gut type. In the devotional space, somebody is praying, the congregation is singing, somebody is touching and agreeing all at the same time. There's no center stage. And all of this is, as my great uncle Horace Gilchrist would say, all of this is done from the floor. It's not done from the pulpit. It's done from the floor. So that's really important. It's like, you know, rather than elevating a pulpit or centering the elevation there, it's centering the floor where everyone is, where everybody is participating and saying, all of this is going on, and we're all, like, important. And, like, just because you're on the mic don't mean that you're the center of attention. And you're important. You know, it's, like, all of these different narratives that are going on that kind of, like, brings a certain level of equity and presence to everything, you know.
But that's not all.
And I think that's what the hollering space is about, is being able to stand in your own grace and then bring other people in. Because it's not one thing, you know? It's not all pain. It's not all joy. It's all of it. It's all the human experience being honored and signified in a moment, in a portal. And you're being seen. The hollering space, you are seen and you are valuable.
Also, there's usually like a microphone situation set up in my part where there's not only like, you know, live mixing going on with sounds that are already pre-made, but there's also the opportunity, like Angela was talking about, where Ron was talking into the microphone and it was like live, you know, just being in the space, just kind of like being in that thoughtful space and speaking it out, you know.
Ron Reagan.
Ron, the first like brushing up of you, just meeting you and you entering into the hollering space, you brought such an energy and such a light and such a gift that you broke spirits.
I don't think I've talked about it that much, truthfully, like outside of the article that I wrote and maybe people who experienced it as well. I don't know if I've talked about it. It feels much more, it feels like something I carry with me and that speaks through me, but it's not spoken about. I don't think I talk about it. I've been reading this collection of writings by Ann Carson, who's a genius, and it's meditation on the challenges of translation, particularly when you have words in one language that really can't be translated into another, or when you have things that just really language fails at describing, where the sign of a word just doesn't quite point at the thing. And I feel that for me right now about the Hollerin space, it feels like an experience, not as much a, one of my sister friend mentor teachers is like, some spirits don't want to be named. I feel like the Hollerin space was a place for unnameable things to exist.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely felt like sacred space walking in there. And I don't even know what y'all did before I arrived, but you could tell that something had been done. There was a moment of pause and taking it in. I don't know if you all would have had to say anything about what the space was about or what it was for. I could have walked in there with nobody present and said, this is sacred. There was something about it that immediately communicated that to me. And there was something about just being able to return to the space and do things like sweep or do things like wash some leaves. There's always something to do to help continue the vision that you two had for what you wanted to bring into the space. But then there were all these other things I could just do as well. I remember writing in gold marker on the leaves. I was like, this is so pretty. This is so pretty. And playing in the dirt, writing on the little graffiti wall mat situation, and being able to have the musical practice of setting whatever the sonic context would be for whatever I was doing prior to doing it, and then singing along or vocalizing along was really nice. And I also liked that there were times where there was nobody there except me. Right, and I think particularly after I got the tutorial on the like, spiritual DJ booth from Muti, felt really excited to just play with the sounds there.
Lauren Hind. Well, Lauren was there from the beginning, you know, from our first Hollerin space. And you've just been such an important part of the collective. You always bring such a fresh insight.
The Hollerin space served as a sanctuary at Roots for me. You know, I think this idea of safety to me is really important, and but I realize like also we're never really safe, and I mean we really have to determine that for ourselves, and that also when things happen outside of our control, and when we don't have the ability to do anything but react to it, we do get to decide that, like how do we react to it, and how do we show up with ourselves and with others? And I think that you all both have taught me so much by the way that you work not only work with what you have, but transform what you have what you have to work with. And it took, I remember taking different forms, like sometimes showing up and being like, here's some food if you want. It's time to eat too sometimes. But also being like, okay, and then you, here, do this, or here, now we're moving in the space, or now there's sounds coming, or now there's meditation of, I feel like the whole thing was meditation of sorts. And I had a really powerful evening where there was some vocal improvisation happening, and it was completely dark, and the sounds that were happening just engulfed me and whoever. I don't even know who else was there. I couldn't see. We were all just rocking in rocking chairs and just going and going, and there was such an incredible momentum that was built in the, and I couldn't tell you, like, some, there were maybe recorded sounds and then vocal sounds and then other sounds that were coming that I didn't know what they were. And I just felt so pulled into harmony, you know, that really happened so beautifully and spontaneously.
I remember when we were doing the Hollering Space, and I was like feeling a lot of feelings, and I was trying to get through something, but I couldn't sing. I could move. I can finally move and dance in this space. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice. It was more than angelic. It was like, it was the matching of my spirit, just the calling of everyone who needed to come forth, this voice. And it was Ron. Ron just came in and just, you were singing and you just changed the color. Like my eyes changed colors in this space with your voice, and then you were gone. And you opened me up and I could start singing after that. And it was like, that was the way, like in your Hollering Space, you would come and then next thing you know, you would be gone, but you would always bring or open up another door in this portal.
I don't feel like my voice is a leading a band kind of voice. I don't think that that's my voice at its best. Like, I feel like my voice at its best is like singing really loudly in the woods. Like, that's where my voice does its best work.
Yeah.
But in the Hollering Space. Right? Like, that's another kind of space where I think my voice can do its best work. And that work has been like calling in spirits that want to be present, and also just modifying a space without amplified sound is something that's really important to me.
Yeah, you call things, and it was so necessary. And I don't know if I ever thanked you for that, but you really, that needed that. I needed that.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
I remember. Mm-hmm. And I remember that was after Spirit House had done the Sandra Bland invocation, remembrance, ceremony. And I feel it was though a lot of folks. I mean, this was, I don't even remember because Black Death feels so cliche at this point, as I've been discussing with a friend, but I feel like we were in a really specific time where a lot of people's murders had been publicized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a litany. I don't remember where we were in all of the names, but it was after that specific moment for Sandra Bland that I feel like a lot of people had a lot of emotion to process.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the Hollering Space and I hollered.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I don't know how long it lasted. It was somewhat timeless.
It was.
And then I just was like, okay, well, that felt good. Okay, I'm leaving now.
Yeah, and then you were gone.
The work of the Hollering Space is an activating work, such that it's not a place in and of itself as much as like a practice of like activating these places.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's both, I don't know. But I was just thinking about like this idea of place making. It doesn't sound like that's the work of the Hollering Space as much as it's like activating.
It feels like placemaking to me, but it feels like placemaking in the body.
Yes.
Like what both of you are saying, like it feels like that, like the body is a place. And that's what we're working with. And it's not like body in the traditional, it's not like dance or we're dancing, we're activating. It's not that. You know what I'm saying? It's that antenna that you're talking about.
Right.
That's the place it feels like for me, the placemaking that it feels like.
I agree.
I think it's really hard, especially in terms of like grant making, organizations, all this stuff. They want documentation. It's like, just be there, you know? It's like, and then And even sitting here right now, I think picking up on the energy of this conversation, like I'm having memories that are not, that I couldn't explain because they either were based in resonance or sound or vibration or something like that. And that's as much as I maybe could explain about it, right? But they're still, and it's like you can't, what's the word? I can't tell you, you know, we want to put the language or writing or pictures as a certain type of documentation, but the way that a vibration carries in my body, I mean, my body is the document of that, you know?
And so That's what I was thinking.
Like the ways in which I've been changed, my body has changed over time for maybe these last 3 years, is to me the documentation that I need, you know, to understand how important this work is. And I think that it's like, yeah, you know, how do you show that? You just are it, you know?
It's hard to put your finger on it because you're out of your body and you're aware that you have a body. And it's like all of that's happening in that space, you know? You're able to go deep and remember things that you wanted to forget. And you're okay. You know that you're okay. You can do that. You can look at it. You can handle it, whatever it is. And you have anchors all around you in this portal, in this hollering space.
But it's making me think about, like, I like this idea of migration too, because I think some of the work that we do is like very localized as far as like local sound, you know, like even when we were researching, like we were about to do this residency in Mississippi. It was like we researched Mississippi. We researched Mississippi on the internet. We researched Mississippi, Jackson specifically, but Mississippi, we researched local culture through people that we knew. But we try as much as we could to get into that vibe of that place. You know, so that becomes a very important thing. And it also feels like placemaking, though, in the sense of like we were in the energy of that place. Like there were certain things that we were listening to, certain conversations that we were having that were specifically about that place, you know?
Yeah.
Muti and Angela worked with the Nala Jenkins Family Center in Durant, Mississippi. And I think the experience that they had with them spoke a lot about the types of artists that Muti and Angela are. I'm Daniel Johnson. I was working at the Mississippi Museum of Art as the Director of Engagement and Learning. The youth of that center were engaged in a project researching, you know, Mississippians of African descent who owned land in Durant, Mississippi, and trying to hold those stories and present those stories. Muti and Angela recognized this is very much in line with they're already doing the hollering space, you know? And so they didn't go in and try and redirect them and say, oh, you gotta come to the museum and do our thing. They went up to Durant multiple times and participated in their project, in the Nala Jenkins project, and ultimately made a home for Nala Jenkins project at the museum and curated part of the hollering space to be a platform for presenting the energies of these Mississippians and these young people, and transferred some of the authority that they'd been given to those young people. And ultimately, they came and did a ceremony for their ancestors in the art garden at the Mississippi Museum of Art. That was beautiful. And I'll always remember that.
I'm Iafolola H. Omobola. I'm one of the co-founders of this organization, Cooperation Jackson, and I'm a co-director with Kali Okuno here. And we're about taking over the world. Actually, we're about creating a new lifestyle, dealing with worker-owner cooperatives and changing the economic structure and ways in which we look at things in relationship to ourselves, the world, each other. Creating models that are more self-sustainable, more eco-friendly, and more humane. And also, I'm a spiritualist. I deal with African spirituality, And I think what happened, if I can remember correctly, was that it was either Angela or Muti or both of them that had been introduced to me from the spiritual side of things. And they had heard about Cooperation Jackson. They wanted to meet the space and to talk. And so we got involved in dealing with spirituality initially, which is a big part of what Hollering Space is about. And so we had some discussion, and then they asked me to come and bless the space. And that's where we kind of stepped into relationship that was there. The thing that made me, that drew me in so deeply, and the thing that spoke to me so dearly about what was happening with what they were doing, was they had found a medium to capture the soul of the movement. And it was through that happening that afforded people to actually have an interactive relationship with the art, to help to recognize that within themselves, and also to heal some of those things, at least have the potentiality of healing. Some of the residual of that has been passed down from generation to generation.
And they were focused on Fair Street because it was an epicenter of kind of Black entrepreneurship and homeownership and social life at one point before, and I'm just not even going to try and explicate all of the different things that went on. That, you know, white supremacy wrecked upon Fair Street and destroyed it and continues to keep it down. But, you know, Medgar Evers had his field office above the Red Apple Inn.
It's Medgar Evers' old office.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a total dump, like straight up abandoned. Like the door was kicked in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it just was looking like shitty.
Yeah.
And it was like, damn, this is Medgar Evers. What the fuck?
And then we went in and we just wrecked, and, you know, we with community, with people, you know, we just said, this is not it. You know, there's more. This is Medgar Evers. And we started sweeping. People regarded that.
They spent some time in that office on the stairwell that goes up to it from the street, on the face of that building. Came back after the Hollering Space was over and spent time doing some kind of found object, kind of assemblage and kind of honoring of ancestors in you know, treatment of the building itself.
Mm-hmm. It was gathering mm-hmm. of community people there because it was a place, you know, it was already a place that was up and running mm-hmm. and activated, and people's memories were there, people's lives were there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, for me, it just felt good to connect
mm-hmm.
in a specific way with people who knew the history and knew the place,
right.
and to not be from there
mm-hmm.
and still be able to, like,
become part of the fabric of it, you know?
Yeah.
And we were able to, with community, bring attention and life and light that had already existed but brought it up. Was able to be seen.
And in some ways, like that speaks to their commitment to the places that the Hollering Space manifests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that even after the contract with the museum was over, they continued to ruminate on Jackson and Mississippi and history and the stories and what were their responsibilities to these stories that they had found. And how to elevate them for the community.
I felt like for myself, like I was like mm-hmm. happy because I could be an outsider but also an insider.
Mm-hmm.
Like I definitely wasn't like from that place, but I felt like I was like recognizing that something that people who are from there were like, yeah, I know this. I already know this. This is Medgar Evers' old office.
Right.
But I felt like because we took the initiative to say we're gonna like work with this space a little bit. Mm-hmm. I felt like it kind of like put us in a place that we were like welcomed a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, welcomed a little bit more than just like, I'm going to come in here and just do what I want to do.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. It was just almost like, we kind of did like come in here and do what we wanted to do, but it was something that was relevant to the place and the people.
Right.
And it was and known, it was not only relevant, right. but known and appreciated mm-hmm. by the place and the people.
Yeah.
So I felt like we were kind of like tapping into something that was very local to that place, mm-hmm. you know? I think the first year we did it, we had some things going on. Like people were like, it was a few people who were like, this is our black stuff. This is really personal to us as black people. And mm-hmm. I dig that. I'm with that. And I'm also not about like excluding mm-hmm. people. Like I'm gonna center my black self. I'm gonna bring my black self. I'm gonna be my black self. And I don't think that means that I have to exclude you or exclude. Mm-hmm. There are some places that are for that, and I appreciate those spaces that are like black only spaces or whatever. Like we need that in certain capacity. Mm-hmm. The hollering space is not that.
The hollering space is about you bringing your full self. Whoever you are, bring your full self forward, and you're gonna be held there. You know, it's like. Mm-hmm. You're coming from a black space, that's going to be centered and pull that, because it's right here. It's already here. Well, whoever you are, it's there. And the hollering space is just holding you to bring your whole self, your full self forward.
And I think that because of who Angela and I are, mm-hmm. centered in our own blackness and centered in things that are relevant to the things, mm-hmm. it's like it's the space is centered in that. And I think through that, mm-hmm. it's a portal for anybody mm-hmm. because everybody got black shit. Mm-hmm. Everybody got black shit going on. And I'm not talking about a color. Mm-hmm. You're never talking about a color.
Right.
But I'm talking about a consciousness of what it means, mm-hmm. what blackness is, the consciousness of what blackness is. Everybody has that. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's, you know, that's where the healing is for me is mm-hmm. to be embodied and disembodied mm-hmm. and to go about my business after that, because there's something mm-hmm. powerful in that. Like there's mm-hmm. something, I need that shit. Like I need to like be born and like die mm-hmm. and like mm-hmm. be born again. Like I need that shit all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
all the time.
Yes, all the time.
For more information on the Hollerin Space, visit thehollerinquiet.tumblr.com.
Creating Place is an audio exploration of placemaking. It is part of a larger project by Alternate Roots called Creating Place, the Art of Equitable Community Building, a multimedia collection of reflections on the history and current practices of creative placemaking in the U.S. South. For more on the project and Alternate Roots, visit alternateroots.org.
Creating Place was recorded by Bonnie Gable and edited by Bonnie and me, Free For All, with additional support from Hannah Pepper Cunningham. Music and soundscaping by Muti Reed. Funding for Creating Place, the Art of Equitable Community Building, comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, Our Town program.
Things without distinction. In its deep pitch, the seed of life begins. From its dark down comes healing sleep. To its merciful ink, consciousness flees pain. From its infinite reach comes the light of day. Black plague, black this, black Sunday, black market notwithstanding.